Today's lesson is entitled God's Righteousness and the Christian's Consecration. And we'll begin in just a moment. I'd have you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, in verses 1 to 2. But before we begin our lesson today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to open up thy very inspired, inerrant words as you preserve them in the good old King James Bible. Father, we pray for your blessing upon the study today. We pray for the saint of God who's listening today, that they would be strengthened and built up in the things of thee. And we pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day that from a heart of faith they'd call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We ask you to have your will in your way, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. God's righteousness in the Christian's consecration. Let's turn our attention right now to Romans chapter 12 and look at verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in chapters 1 through 8 of Romans, the Apostle Paul deals with the principles related to God's redeeming righteousness. In chapters 9 through 11, he deals with the prophecies relating to God's redeeming righteousness. And now in chapters 12 through 16, he deals with the practices relating to God's redeeming righteousness. The saint who appreciates the truths of chapters 1 through 11 will also want to apply these truths. If they have been truly converted, they will also want to be totally consecrated. Believing some things will cause them to become something. Becoming something totally converted involves at least two things. Consecration, the Christian's consecration, is something I believe that is not preached and taught enough in our churches today. So I pray this lesson will be a blessing to you, and we'll both together learn some things about Christian consecration. Now, the first point I want to make is this. Christian consecration is normal. Again, Christian consecration is normal. Now, Dr. Vance Havner said this. Most Christians live such subnormal lives that if they should meet a Christian who is living a normal Christian life, they would think him to be abnormal. Amen. This is tragically true, but it should not be. That's right, it should not be. It should be normal for life that has been saved by the Savior to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Paul points out two scriptural reasons why this should be so. First of all, it is as normal as God's compassion for us. It is as normal as God's compassion for us. All Paul has said from chapter 1 through 11 is designed to show us that we could never, ever merit God's redeeming righteousness. It's only because of His compassion that we have been converted from sin. It is also because of His compassion that we should be consecrated. Because of His compassion, we are besought. We are besought. Because of God's compassion, we are besought. Notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the first three words. It says, I beseech you. See, I beseech carries the idea of a brother lovingly and pleadingly going up to the side of another and placing his arm around the other brother's shoulders and pleading with him to do something. Who is it that is beseeching here? It's none other than the Apostle Paul. Through this epistle, he seeks to place his arm around the shoulders of those who make up the church in Rome. And who are these who are besought that Paul is beseeching? They are both Jews and Gentiles who make up the church in Rome. Paul is their brother because they all have been redeemed by Christ's blood. Now, upon what grounds does Paul plead with all converted saints to become consecrated saints? See? It's because of his compassion. Amen, we are bought. It's because of his compassion we are bought. Again, I direct your attention to verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans. The words of God say, I beseech you, therefore. Now the therefore reaches back to chapter 1 and gathers up all that Paul has said concerning the saints' condemnation in sin, conviction and conversion from sin, and bases his plea upon the fact that they were bought because of God's compassion. Just what does it mean to be bought because of God's compassion? Well, because of his compassion, we are brethren. Because of his compassion, we are brethren. Notice, again in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Notice the word brethren. Having been bought by Christ's blood, we become brothers in Christ. The word brethren denotes blood kin. In fact, it expresses the closest possible relationship. One common salvation, my friend, has made the great apostle blood kin to all the members of the body of Christ. Their brotherhood in Christ should cause them to behave like Christ. You see, consecration should be normal for all God's children. Paul has yet one more argument concerning consecration being normal because of God's compassion. And that is, because of God's compassion, we are believers. Because of God's compassion, we are all believers. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, here in verse 1 again, brethren, by the mercies of God. Two words point out how and why sinners are able to believe and receive salvation. That first word, by, is the preposition in the meaning, the agency. What is the agency that enables us to believe? Paul says it is the mercies of God. That's what enables us to believe. See? The word mercies is plural and denotes the abundance of God's saving grace. It is these mercies that the Apostle Paul has declared and described from chapter 1 through chapter 11. Were it not for this mercies, we would all be blind instead of being believers. And since God has bought us by Christ's blood, it is also true that He owns us. It is also true that His mercies for us require that we recognize His claim upon us. This is Paul's second argument concerning the Christian's consecration being normal. It is normal as God's claim upon us. You see, in chapter 10 and verse 9 of Romans, Paul conditions salvation upon one's being willing to receive Christ as Savior and recognize Him as sovereign. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We read this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, my dear friend, He must be Lord. And since He is Lord of our lives, He has certain claims upon us. He desires and demands that we do certain things. Together, let us look at two things. He demands, amen, first of all, God demands presented sacrifices. God demands presented sacrifices. God wants all Christians to look back and seriously consider what and where we were before God's mercies found and forgave us. And then upon our loving response to His loving mercies, He wants us to freely and fully present our bodies to Him in an act of complete consecration. You see, He wants complete bodies. We see in our verse, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Paul used the present, which means to freely and fully present something. It also means to present completely, once and for all. Now, a partial sacrifice was unknown and unthinkable to the Jews. You see, it would have been an insult to God to offer anything less than the whole sacrifice on His altar. And God has not changed in his desires or demands. He still demands complete bodies. Now, we hear so much concerning rededications, but actually no Christian can rededicate anything to God. When the Jews brought their sacrifices to be offered to God, they brought complete sacrifices. Now, these sacrifices were placed on the altar with the fire beneath, and they remained there until they were completely consumed by fire. You see, they did not dedicate them to God, allow them to be partially consumed, take them off the altar, and then later bring them back for another little warming over a rededication. Neither can a Christian do this with his sacrifice. It must be complete, or God will have no part of it. He will be insulted by it. The Jews brought dead bodies to be sacrificed to God. God accepted these dead bodies as types of sacrifice he would give and the sacrifices he would demand. But there would be a difference in the kind of sacrifices he would demand. See? He wants conscious bodies. See? Not only does he want complete bodies, but he wants conscience bodies. Amen. Conscious bodies. Because we read there in our verse that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Christ presented his body as a sin offering. Christians present their bodies as the thank offering. God now demands bodies that are completely and consciously surrendered to him. You see, surrendered bodies will serve. They will be consecrated. I often wonder if many day, modern day congregation of Christians appear to God as nothing more than a bunch of dead sacrifices, having no more life than did Ezekiel's valley of dried bones. Too often Christians travel many miles and sit for long hours in so-called deeper life conferences and still have no more life than last year's bird nest, amen. Often hours of planning and praying for missions around the world are spent by Christians who walk not across the street to witness to a lost neighbor. Needless to say, engaging in religious activities is not consecration. Again, engaging in religious activities is not consecration. Consecration is presenting complete and conscious bodies to be used by God's Spirit in God's service. But there is still more demanded by God. He wants not only complete bodies, not only conscious bodies, he wants crucified bodies. Again, we read, he says in his word, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. To Jews, sacrifices must be slaughtered. Christ became our sacrifice for sin. As such, he was crucified. If we are to become living sacrifices for him, become consecrated, we too must be crucified. Our bodies must be put to death. They must die to self and sin before they can be consecrated to Christ. He demanded this. Look with me, if you would, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, Matthew 16 in verses 24 to 26. We read this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See? Christ demands, amen, a crucified body. To forsake all. To lose our lives. For his sake. Amen. To deny self, to take up our cross and follow him. Amen. Follow him. And if you follow Christ, ye shall suffer persecution. Some people believe that that cross is an illness that you have to bear or a tragedy or something like that. The cross that you bear when you surrender and you live a crucified life for Christ is that you're going to pay the price for living for him. That's the cross. Amen. When you lose your life for his sake. See? Paul also did this. Paul also died to self and sin. Amen. And became consecrated to Christ. Probably one of the greatest statements, amen, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. In Galatians chapter 2, you're probably very familiar with this. We're familiar with a lot of things in Scripture, are we not? But the sad part, are we living them daily? We know what the Scriptures say, but unfortunately, we don't practice them in our daily walk with the Lord. Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, he's died to self and he's died to sin. He says, nevertheless, in other words, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm died to self, to sin, but nevertheless, I live. Despite that, despite the fact that I've died to self and sin, I'm still very much alive. He says, but the difference is this. Yet not I. It's not me living now. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See? In other words, he's under the complete control of Christ. He's died to self. He's died to sin. He's consecrated to Christ. Christ is in absolute control of his life now. And he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. He's still alive physically, but he's saying, now I'm still alive physically, but there's a difference. He says, I live, how? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Total consecration. There's a difference now how his physical life is lived and conducted and directed. It's all directed by faith in Christ, who loved Paul, who loved you and I, and gave himself for us. You see, only crucified bodies can become completely and consciously surrendered to Christ. They will become this, but they also will become clean bodies. So we've seen so far that God wants complete bodies. He wants conscious bodies, does he not? He wants crucified bodies, but he also wants clean bodies. Notice again in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1. Again, we read that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, and then it says, holy. Holy. Now, for animal sacrifices in the Old Testament to be holy meant they were to be clean, perfect, no blemishes, no blood clots, so on and so forth. If they were found to be less than this, they were rejected by the priest. The fire of God would not fall on an unholy sacrifice. For the saint to be holy means that he must be clean and consecrated. The word holy itself is used here by Paul, which literally means to be set apart for God. For something to be set apart for God, it must be clean. And if it's not clean, God's fire of approval will not fall upon it. My friend, is there any wonder that many modern-day worship services are so cold? There is no holy fire. There is no holy fire because there are so few complete, conscious, crucified, and clean sacrifices, bodies. God is not pleased with our sacrifice. So far in our study today, we've seen for a Christian to be totally converted, consecrated to God, we have been seeing that it involves at least two things. We started out by saying, number one, Christian consecration is normal. It's normal. It's not abnormal. It's something that we should, a life that the way we should be living. Now, and then we saw under that, it is as normal as God's compassion for us. It's as normal as God's compassion for us. And we saw some things about God's compassion. Because of God's compassion, we are besought. Because of his compassion, we are bought. Because of his compassion, we are brethren. Because of his compassion, we are believers. See? And then we saw it is as normal as God's claim upon us. It is as normal as God's claim upon us, consecration. And then we began under that to see things that God demands. God demands presented sacrifices. And then we see under completed sacrifices, he demands presented sacrifices. Under that, we saw that he wants completed bodies. He wants conscious bodies. He wants crucified bodies, and he wants clean bodies. Amen. Also, we're going to see now that God demands pleasing sacrifices. Amen. God demands pleasing sacrifices. And we're going to look at that. We're going to begin at that point next time as we continue our study here on the consecration of the Christian. Amen. Now, I just want to say to our listeners, remember that every one of these lessons are available on CD, absolutely free. All you have to do is drop me a note at the address at the end of the broadcast. And also wanted to invite people to visit my website, www.allthecounselofgod.com. Allthecounselofgod.com. There's a tremendous amount of Bible studies, lessons for you to watch, to listen to download, whatever you'd like. Well, we've run out of time. Until we meet again, My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.